The wind swept the narrow alleyways of the old megacity, carrying whispers of forgotten secrets and the scent of jasmine. It was in these alleys that Layla moved like a shadow, her way silent, her presence slightly felt. She was known as a quiet girl who ran the bookstore near the Root Square, an old shop with crooked shelves, sun-stained windows, and volumes piled like halls ready to collapse. But to Elias, she was a girl who formerly faded. Times had gone before time and tragedy sculpted distance between them. Layla and Elias had participated commodity fragile and bright. Youthful love born in stolen moments, horse laugh echoing in the library halls, and letters passed beneath doorways. But Layla had dissolved the night of the fire that gulfed the West Quarter. No bone knew where she had gone. No bone, not indeed Elias, had heard from her again. Until now. It was a stormy Tuesday when Elias stepped into the bookstore, his hair damp, his fleece trickling. He'd returned to the megacity for a photography exhibition, a temporary visit, or so he told himself. The moment he pushed open the rustic door, the chime over chime like a memory. Layla stood behind the counter, her fritters wrapped around a storming mug of tea. She looked up sluggishly, and their eyes met. For a moment, time stood still. Also, she blinked, and the world rushed back by. "Hello," Elias said, his voice rough, doubtful. Layla didn't move. Her face was calm, but her eyes betrayed her, widening just enough to show shock, also softening with commodity, differently commodity undecipherable. "Hello," she replied, placing her mug down precisely. "It's been a while."
6 times, he said.
6 times, 2 months, and 13 days. She gave a small, sad smile. "You still count." Elias looked around, taking the fine shelves, the heaps of poetry, the hanging lights that cast golden pools on the rustic bottom. "I didn't know you were back." "I no way left," she said still. That stopped him. "You no way left," he echoed, stepping near.
"No,"
Layla rumored.
"I just hid."
"From the world."
"From you."
Elias studied her. She had changed. Her formerly long hair was now cut to her shoulders. The debonair horse laugh in her eyes had been replaced with a cautious calm. But she was still Layla. Still the girl who believed in ghosts, pressed wildflowers between runners, and pictured of publishing her own novel.
"Why?" he asked.
"Why did you vanish like that?" Her lips parted, but the answer didn't come. Rather, she turned and picked up a small leather-bound book from the counter. "Do you still write?" she asked, diverting.
"I take Filmland now," he replied.
"Try to find stories in light and shadow." She jounced, nearly to herself. "You always saw the world through a lens." "Indeed, back also."
"I saw you," he said vocally.
Silence settled between them like dust. Eventually, she said, "Would you like some tea?" He jounced.
"I'd like that."
They sat in the corner of the bookstore, at a small table girdled by forgotten novels. The rain tapped gently on the windows. She poured the tea, her hand steady, but her heart was contending. He noticed.
"You're hysterical," he said gently.
"I'm not sure I know how to do this," she admitted.
"Do what?"
"Face the history.
Face you."
Elias leaned forward, his voice low. "What happened to you, Layla? That night? Everyone allowed you were gone. Dead indeed." Layla closed her eyes. The fire, the bank, the riots. She could still hear it.
"My father," she said at last.
He was part commodity dark. Commodity I didn't understand until it was too late. That fire was an accident. He started it. To destroy commodity. Or someone. Elias's eyes widened.
"He took me away that night," she continued.
"Told me it was for my safety. That I couldn't see you again. That if I did, they'd find us both."
"Who?"
Elias asked, his voice slightly a tale.
"I doent know," she said.
"He no way told me. But after he failed, I came back. I allowed it was over." Elias reached across the table, taking her hand in his. She squinched but didn't pull down.
"Why didn't you tell me?"
"Because I was spooked. Because I allowed you to test me. Because I didn't want to bring the murk back into your life."
"I would have waited," he said.
"I did stay. Every day. Every damn day." Gashes lustered in her eyes.
"I know. That's what hurts the most. Outside, the rain braked. Outside, commodity fragile stirred. You're then now, Elias said. That's what matters. Layla looked at him, eyes searching. Is it? He jounced. It is. And for the first time in times, the space between them began to close. The coming morning, Elias returned to the bookstore before Indeed opened. He stood across the cobbled road, camera in hand, as the sun rose over the megacity's worn rooftops. Through the glass window, he saw Layla gently dusting off the backbones of books, her movements soft and precise, like someone trying to erect together a forgotten life. He raised the camera and clicked. She looked up. Their eyes met again, this time through the lens. She gave the faintest nod, and he lowered the camera, walking toward the door. She uncorked it before he could knock. "You're beforehand," she said, a smile brushing her lips. "You're then," he replied. "So I had to be." Layla stepped away, let him in. The light filtering through the windows painted golden stripes on the bottom. Elias glanced around the shop. He could feel the history percolating from every creak of the floorboards, every mound of poetry. "Do you ever wonder," he said, "how different effects could have been?" "All the time," Layla replied vocally. They sat again at the corner table, now littered with many open journals and two mugs of warm tea. The air between them was then as heavy as before, but it still held the weight of the implied. "After you left," Elias began, "I tried to find you. I went to the West Quarter remains. Asked the police. Indeed, search your father's old records. There was nothing." "My father was good at hiding effects," she said, her voice quiet. "Indeed for me." "What was he involved in, Layla? Was it felonious?" She dithered, also jounced. "Smuggling, but not medicines or munitions. It was art, rare books, stolen oils, secret calligraphies, effects people would kill for." Elias's eyes darkened with consummation. "That fire was in just a cover. Up," he said. "No," Layla rumored. "It was a war, a silent bone, between important people who used art to move secrets around the world. My father crossed someone, and they redressed." "Did you know what he was doing?" "Not also. I allowed he was just a collector. I used to help him roster books. I didn't realize what some of them really were." "And now?" Elias asked, "Are you still in peril?" Layla sighed. "I don't know. I've kept quiet. Lived small. Hidden in plain sight." "But you do want to hide presently." "No." Her voice quivered. "I want to live. I want to love again." Elias reached across the table formally more. "This time," she took his hand without recoiling. "I'm not going anywhere," he said. "Not this time." A silence passed between them, not empty, but full of memory and stopgap. Suddenly, the doorbell chimed. Both of them turned. A altitudinous man in an Argentine fleece entered. Sharp eyes, scar above his brow. He didn't look like someone who came for books. "Can I help you?" Layla asked, standing. "I'm looking for a specific volume," the man said, his voice cool. "Commodity rare. Commodity that belonged to a Zarmiron." Layla said. Elias stood up beside her. "This is in a rare collection store," he said. The man ignored him, stepping near. "A Zarmiron was your father, was ain't he?" Layla's voice was steady. "He was. Also, you must have commodity of his." "I do ain't." "Pity," the man said with a smile that didn't reach his eyes. "If you flash back anything, do let us know." He dropped the card on the counter and left without another word. The moment the door shut, Layla gripped the edge of the table. "They set up me," she rumored. "After all these times, they set up me." Elias picked up the card. No name, just a number and a button, a feather inside a circle. He slipped it into his fund. "We'll go to the police," he said. "No," she snapped. "They were ain't help. They no way did. Also, we'll cover ourselves." Layla looked at him, a storm rising in her eyes. "This is why I stayed down. I didn't want you dragged into this." "I don't care," Elias said. "You're not alone presently." She stepped down, shaking her head. "You don't understand. They destroyed everything. However, they would ain't stop if they suppose I what they want. They'll hurt anyone close to me. I'm not hysterical. You should be. He crossed the room in two strides, cupping her face in his hands. I lost you formally, Layla. I would ent lose you again. She closed her eyes, leaning into him. But what if I lose you, she rumored. You would ent. And just like that, their lips met. The kiss was slow, reluctant, a reunion of two broken halves. Times of pain, craving, silence, all melted down in that moment. It was ent perfect. But it was real. When they pulled piecemeal, Elias rumored, let them come. Let the murk come. We'll face them. Together. And in her eyes, for the first time in times, was commodity close to stopgap. The coming many days passed in a haze of query and rumor plans. Elias stayed close, shooting the megacity by day, staying at Layla's apartment above the bookstore by night. Their closeness, formerly shattered by times of absence, now sutured itself back with each participated mess. Each soft smile, each quiet night, falling asleep side by side. But the shadow of the once impended. Every time the wind rattled the shop windows, Layla strained. Every time the phone chimed without a frequent ID, her breath caught in her throat. Elias noticed. He no way said anything. He just held her hand a little tighter. Also one night, while sorting through a mound of old books in the garret, Layla set up it, an envelope, yellowed with age, sealed and hidden behind a false panel in her father's antique office. She opened it with pulsing fritters. Inside were runners of names, locales, in cipher dispatches, and a snap. Her father, standing beside the man who had come into the store, the bone with the scar. They were mates, Layla muttered. Elias took the envelope, flipping through the contents. This is further than evidence. It's a chart, a list of everything they stole, everything they smuggled. And now they want it back, Layla rumored. Also, let's give it to someone who can stop them. She shook her head. They people far and wide. I do and trust the authorities. Elias held up the print. But this is Verity. And I'm a shooter. I know what to do with Verity. That night, Elias transferred the entire contents of the envelope, scrutinized, entered, and explained to several transnational investigative intelligencers, along with the story of the fire, the art smuggling, and the bookstore girl who dissolved. He didn't use Layla's name, only called her L. The Merc, he hoped, wouldn't see her coming. But they did. Two nights latterly, Layla came home to find the bookstore ransacked. Books torn, shelves capsized, her journals destroyed. And scribbled in red makeup on the wall, the Merc no way forget. Elias arrived moments latterly, breathless, having seen the news that one of the intelligencers he'd transferred to lines that had gone public, and had dissolved soon after. They know we're fighting back, he said, heart racing. Layla stood in the wreckage of her life, her eyes concave. They'll no way stop. Elias took her face in his hands. Also, neither will we. They went into caching. Together. They traveled from ville to ville, occasionally pretending to be married, occasionally artists on a retreat. Elias took photos, of beauty, of anguish, of memory. Layla wrote stories in scrapbooks, her handwriting looping like vines. It wasn't the life they had pictured of, but it was life, and it was theirs. Also, 6 months latterly, the apprehensions began. One by one, names on her father's list made captions collectors, janitors, bootleggers. Elias's prints were picked up by transnational press. The story of the mysterious envelope and the fire in the West Quarter spread like campfire. And through it all, the name L came legend, a symbol of adaptability, of love hidden in shadow. Layla watched from hence. She no way claimed her identity. She didn't want fame. She only wanted peace. And Elias? He stood beside her every step, camera slung over his shoulder, heart always full of her. One evening, in a small literal city with white, washed houses and the scent of ocean swab in the air, Elias knelt on one knee in the middle of the sunlit forecourt. Layla goggled at him, stupefied. Elias, he smiled, holding up a simple tableware ring. I do and need a perfect world. I just need you. Your murk, your stories, your heart. Marry me, Layla. Gashes filled her eyes, not from fear, but from commodity she hadn't felt in time's joy.
Yes, she rumored.
And there, under the setting sun, two people once torn piecemeal by secrets and silence set up their ending. Not in darkness, but in light.
Times latterly, the bookstore was rebuilt. It sat formally again near the Route 4 court, its crooked shelves filled with poetry and pledge. At the reverse of the shop hung a single black and white snap, a youthful woman standing in the remains, a book in her hand, her eyes fierce and free. Beneath the frame, a brass shrine read, "To the girl who lived among murk and chose love anyway."